even though he was 21 years old and could strike out on his own, he went with his family and helped his family get established in Illinois.
That's Dr. Sam Wheeler, Director of Research, Collections, and Library Services at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield. And he's talking about the humble beginnings of our 16th president, who, in the year 1830, moved to Illinois with his family.
Helped them build a cabin, fence it in, get some crops in the ground.
And then once the family was settled, Lincoln headed south.
Quite famously, he struck out on his own. Started with a flatboat ride all the way to New Orleans to deliver some produce. And then, by the time Abraham Lincoln could make his own way in the world, he could figure out where he wanted to live at, he chose Illinois. Chose a little town called New Salem, a little village on the Sangamon River.
And eventually, Lincoln became president of the United States at a time when our country was on the verge of falling apart. But it's important to realize that several of Lincoln's predecessors were quite wealthy. According to the website Business Insider, Andrew Jackson, for example, had an estimated net worth of $131 million, as measured in today's dollars. In the late 1700s, our first president, George Washington, had an estimated worth of around $525 million. In contrast, Lincoln was very poor. Again, here's Dr. Wheeler.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln did not come from wealth and privilege. He came from an extremely humble background, and I think that's one of the most inspiring points of his story.
A story that begins literally in the dirt.
A man that was born and lived, grew up in a log cabin most of the time with a dirt floor.
Lincoln's schooling?
Had less than a year of formal education.
But thanks to Lincoln's work ethic, his drive, his ambition, and the desire to constantly learn, the lack of formal classwork did not stop him.
He hadn't gone to school more than something like 9 or 12 months total as a kid.
That's Dr. James Cornelius, curator of the Lincoln Collection at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library in Springfield.
So he taught himself law. He taught himself surveying. He tried to learn some German, and he was a failure at that. It was kind of a joke, really. He couldn't manage with foreign languages. He really couldn't carry a tune either. He was tone deaf. But he taught himself law.
And it was early in his law career that Lincoln honed his people skills and showed his ability to relate to the everyday problems of the common man, especially on the arduous traveling court circuit. Again, here is Dr. Sam Wheeler.
He traveled the 8th Judicial Circuit in central Illinois, and two times a year he would travel the circuit and travel with all the lawyers, including the judge, and they would go into these little towns, and he would meet a client maybe that day, and the client would tell him about a pig that was stolen from him, and he needs to get it back, and he would engage Mr. Lincoln's services, and the next day Mr. Lincoln would argue his case and hopefully get a resolution and maybe a $5 or $10 fee.
It was a rough way to practice law, but Lincoln didn't seem fazed.
That was a hard life. Many of the lawyers that were Lincoln's contemporaries didn't enjoy riding that circuit and sleeping in the rough accommodations and eating the rough food, as you can imagine. But Mr. Lincoln seemed to thrive in that environment. Arguing on your feet, having the ability to get along well with folks, making allies all along the way. It helped his political career as well to be out amongst the folks.
And these skills were soon noticed by the entire country, as Lincoln's next stop on the road to the White House was a series of 7 public debates.
If it wasn't for these debates, Lincoln probably would have never become president.
That's scholar, teacher, and historian Mark Motzinger. Motzinger is also a member of the Illinois State Historical Society and the president of the Saline County Historical Society. And Motzinger is talking about the famous 1858 Lincoln-Douglas debates between Lincoln, the Republican challenger for the Illinois Senate seat, held by Democrat Stephen Douglas. There were 7 debates, one of which took place in Jonesboro. And Motzinger stresses that even though the Lincoln-Douglas debates took place 160 years ago, way before the electronic media, and yes, way before Facebook, these debates were not much different from today's debates.
One of the more interesting things about Abraham Lincoln in Southern Illinois, of course, is the debates that took place in Illinois. And it became, put, matter of fact, they put Abraham Lincoln in national prominence. And the third debate was held in Jonesboro. About 1,500 people came. And what I also find interesting is it's the same thing that we hear today. It's interesting that you see the same old things going on. Douglas was saying that Lincoln had one thing he would say in the South, one thing he would say in the North, and another thing he would say in the central part of the state. And it put Lincoln on the defense where he would have to explain, no, I've said the same thing everywhere. And then he would then accuse Douglas of doing the same thing. And a lot of these debates were basically back and forth. You said this, you said that. And, you know, there was probably some accuracy in all of what they were saying. But I find that to be kind of interesting is when you compare the stuff that's going on today. He said, she said, exactly.
It's also important to remember that the Lincoln-Douglas debates were held in the elements. Here is Lincoln Collection curator Dr. Cornelius.
The wind might be blowing. It might be kind of hot. It might be kind of chilly. It's probably kind of dusty. And what you have to do to appeal to a larger crowd is, first of all, keep them laughing now and then, either with jokes or insults of your opponent, or I guess we'd call it kind of high-style oratory. And Douglas was very good at that. Douglas was obviously a U.S. senator, had been for a couple of terms already, was running for another term of it. And he had a great, booming, baritone voice.
But by contrast,
the great big Lincoln, 6'4", had a kind of a thin, tenor, reedy voice. But he, by training, had made himself audible in big crowds like that. He could make his point, and he could make jokes, and he could keep it on target.
Lincoln lost the Senate race to Stephen Douglas, but the exposure from the debates would eventually help Lincoln to become our 16th president, who still inspires today. In fact, just last fall, when the Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, came to Carbondale, he visited the Lincoln Library and Museum.
It really was a great honor. We haven't had a Secretary General here before, and we might not again in the future. Who can predict? But it was a great honor. And he, of course, was awed by the Gettysburg Address.
Moon's native South Korea reveres our 16th president.
There is, just as of about 2 years ago, a new Korea Abraham Lincoln Society. Lincoln is of interest to people all over the world, and it's still growing as far as we can tell.
And Dr. Wheeler says Lincoln's life is proof that obstacles can be overcome.
How does he claw his way up and become president of the United States and ends his life by living in the White House, one of the most powerful men in the world? And really, that's the embodiment of the American dream. And certainly Abraham Lincoln knew that. That was a message that he preached to soldiers during the Civil War, that it was worth enduring these incredible hardships because America offers opportunity. And he was the living embodiment of that.
For WSIU In Focus, I'm Kevin Boucher.